Welcome to Vassals of Kingsgrave, and we are returning this week to discussion on the popular British drama Broadchurch with the series finale.
My name is Glenn. I am Dago Shivers from the podcast of Ice and Fire Forums.
Hey, it's Mary, and I'm Mary on the forums. Happy to be here.
So when is it that you watched the final episode?
Just last night.
Just last night.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. And it was you watched half of it during the day and then half of it at night.
Yeah, I just had a rehearsal. I really had to go to get to and be on time. And I still started the episode because I figured I would have difficulty finding time today to do that. So, and then I was left with like the last 10 minutes. But actually, like, the last 10 minutes, you're enjoying them because you have the conclusions of everything, but
yes.
the big reveal already happened.
Yes.
I wasn't left hanging. Just I knew who did it. I could get to my rehearsal and say goodbye to everyone after. I mean, say goodbye to the whole crew and characters afterwards.
I guess it was similar to series one, so the big reveal happened early on in the episode, so I guess...
I don't even remember, but yeah, I guess so. I think that's the point of Broadchurch as well, is that it's not just what's happening, it's how everyone is reacting to it, so it
yes.
wouldn't make sense to have it just as at the end of the episode. We need the reaction of everyone to that news. Did you watch it live on
Monday
night? Yeah,
I think I just waited about 15-20 minutes until it started so that I could just fast forward through that
yeah.
and
yeah.
the let me try and think. I think I was watching Monday's usually a really good day for TV because like all my favourite shows are on then.
Yeah.
So there's like Big Little Lies on just now, there's Broadchurch.
Yeah.
There's this new show called Harlots that Bina's talked about a few times. And
ooh, I don't know that one.
Oh, I think it was on Hulu. So just set in the 18th century about a brothel and this rival, like there's two brothels and like it's this big rivalry and stuff. Then there's Child Genius US, that's one. And the pop game as well. So that's about Timbaland finding a pop star. So I think I was watching one of those and then moved on
and then
to Broadchurch.
I was actually kind of worried that I would get spoiled yesterday, but I guess like Broadchurch isn't such a big thing that everyone is going to talk about it immediately, and
yes,
and like I barely had a few articles like caught my eye, like big reveal on Broadchurch, but nothing was said in the title obviously, so I was fine.
I opened the newspaper, which was so the Sun newspaper, and I seen on maybe page 10 or so that they had a picture of the person that did it, and then it talked a bit more about the end of the series, and then it talked about everyone was shocked by this happening, so if I didn't watch it, then I guess I would have been spoiled.
Yeah, well, I guess in France it was less of a...
big deal.
Of a risk, yeah. But it's actually like, I mean, there are French networks that are going to broadcast it, which are going to air it, which is not that common. Like, I am fairly convinced that there's a lot of amazing British shows that are never on French television. You just have to find them through you can obviously a lot of those are probably on cable or paying services or stuff like that, but on the main networks there's not much.
So with Mark deciding to leave the family and just give up. Obviously, it's better that he didn't commit suicide, but still, it was really sad that he just left. And you know, hopefully, he still keeps in contact and you know visits his daughters. But with Mark leaving and just after. He has that conversation with Beth and she says that she doesn't love him anymore, they've fallen apart. And I like that they did say, no, it's not because Danny died, that they were on that road to splitting up. And then, even though they never mentioned it, but that the viewer in their mind knows that Mark was planning to leave her anyway in the last series, well, before Danny had died.
And she actually knows about that, right?
Yes, she did find out. But that was
she found out in season 2, I think.
In the worst way possible. Yeah, in public during a court trial.
I really liked. I enjoyed that the way they ended that storyline. It's sad. It's like really sad because you can see that they're still really attached to each other. But I think it's the right choice for Mark that he has to leave. He cannot stay there. It's just not working for him.
And especially with having that book written in the first episode, and then he regrets that. So it would be a way to distance himself from where his son was murdered, and then he hopefully is able to start a new life. But I'm just hoping that he doesn't just abandon his family, that he does keep in contact with Chloe and Lizzie, because there's throughout episode 6, 7, and 8 there's that question of, are we good enough? Is it because we're you know, because Chloe's thinking is, oh, Danny was the favorite and stuff like that.
And I mean, how hard is it for Chloe that her father would just kill himself? And like, because obviously she understands his grief, you know, but the realization that she's not enough for him to want to leave, it's just like, it must be really hard to see that as a 18, I don't know how old she is, but.
How did you feel about the fact that he did try and commit suicide, but wasn't? It didn't work, or he was rescued miraculously by a boat that just happened to be in the ocean? Because I didn't like that part. I think it would have been better if he did die, even though I didn't want him to, but I think it would work better as a story.
I think it would have worked, but I feel like the way he tried to do it, it was really like... I mean, I don't know, like when we see him on top of the cliff, I expected him to just jump.
Yes.
And end up on the beach like Danny did. But then he didn't. And I figured, I don't know, I it's not the kind of thing I would know. But if he really had wanted to die, he'd maybe have found a more definitive and immediate way, like just jumping off the cliff, or I don't know, or pills if you do it the right way and with no one around. So I don't know, but just I guess that letting yourself drown is quite sure as well, and you don't expect a boat to just pass by. But I'm glad it didn't die, because I think it would have been really, really, really hard on Beth and Chloe. And I think he needed something to bounce back up, and I think he found it in the end. Like, he actually, it's the first hopeful thing we see from him, their last scene, when he's like, I have to start again and get away from here and take care of myself. I think he really wants to do that. And that's the first time we hear him say something like that.
I remember when episode 6 happened and it was all over the newspapers and online, like shock ending to Broadchurch, depressing ending, and you know they were building up that he did commit suicide. But on Reddit and on Digital Spy and a few other places I read, they were saying these things like, oh, it was a metaphor, or it was like what you see isn't what actually happened, and he actually did jump off the cliff. But they wanted to make it more viewer friendly by having him just float on the ocean, and then I was convinced that he was that he had died, and I was so surprised the next week when he was just in the hospital bed.
I wasn't that convinced, because we don't really see it. Like, as you said, we just see him floating, and like I kept waiting to see his face actually go under the water, because on the last shot we just go further up from the sea, and we still see his face on the surface. We don't fully see him go down, and that didn't happen. I figured he might not actually be dead. He could just like snap out of it 10 seconds after that and get back on the boat, you know. So yeah, I wasn't entirely convinced, and actually he didn't die. So
in the final episode, when they were doing that backstory about Leo, so you see Lucas, he's waiting in the taxi, and then Leo comes up, he gets in the front seat. I was just saying, please don't be Mark, please don't be Mark, because I was thinking it would be Mark that would jump in the back seat.
Yeah.
And that's what I thought was, I guess, the build-up to the story.
I kind of thought that maybe that was happening as well, just because we had in parallel these scenes of Mark and Beth, and which is what Broadchurch does. I mean, it's they did it all throughout season 3, having scenes of the Latimer family that are not necessarily linked to the investigation. But I was thinking, we keep seeing like the new suspects and everything, and the new clues and everything, and then Mark and Beth. So maybe that's the build up to it, but I'm really glad that didn't happen.
Me too. Delighted that it didn't happen. And I know that when the story started, and I didn't know much about what was happening in season 3, and I just knew that I had heard that it would be a new case that the two were investigating, but I didn't know if the family would come back. But I'm so glad the Latimer family did come back, because they're such a huge part of the show.
Yeah.
And
I think it would have been weird if it had just been one completely distinct investigation.
I know there's been a lot of criticism about that, you know, did they have to bring the Latimer family back? And it's convenient that Beth was set up as the counsellor for Trish, but I'm glad that they did, and it's, well, the best possible way that they could link the two together anyway.
Yeah, like, it's convenient, but it's also a really good idea. Like, I mean, and it's a good continuation, because in season 2 already we could see Beth trying to help in charities or in that kind of stuff. I remember, like, she even thought of helping in a group of rehabilitation for sex offenders. I don't know if you remember, but that.
Oh, I can't remember that.
It was actually set up by Paul, I think, Paul Coates. And,
oh, yes.
And then she couldn't get through with it, because because it was too hard after what happened to Danny. But
yes.
Like, we could see that she wanted to change her grief into something good, and so it's the right continuation.
Oh, and I guess I like the setup that Beth and Chloe are moving on with their life. They're trying to help others, and that helps themselves. So Chloe is helping Daisy and befriending her, you know, being supportive to her, whilst Beth is being, you know, taking on a new job and being supportive for Trish. Then it contrasts with Mark, who's still stuck in the past, still, you know, wanting revenge on Joe.
Yeah, and actually we left off last time with Mark going to see Joe, but without knowing what would happen. And I really liked the way they did that. I mean, I really liked that Mark didn't kill him or even hit him or anything, that he just couldn't do it, and in the end talked with him. And like, not that I want to feel bad for Joe, but I really think that he is indeed sorry for what he did, and that I think it something changed in Mark when he talked with him, and even though it led to him try to kill himself, I think it was the right it brought him closure one way or another. And then he tried to kill himself because he had no purpose anymore, because he had found Joe and nothing had come of it. And so, yeah, I really enjoyed their conversation, and it was really hard to watch, because like, hearing Joe tell him that he was already, I mean, that he was too late and that Danny was already dead when Mark was on the parking lot and everything, like, it was hard, but it's the best outcome I could see for that situation.
I enjoyed that too, because in most dramas it would have gone a different path, like he would be locked in the van, or it would be death for Joe.
It's more realistic in a way, like they don't just choose to, I mean, the writers, they don't just do stuff for the big show. They try to write a coherent story, and I think it is consistent and plausible and more realistic this way. Yeah. And you were talking about Daisy. I loved Alex's reaction when he went up
when he spoke to the three boys.
Yeah, and he tears a train ticket and just, "You're staying here," and goes and talk to the boys, and just he was amazing.
And it was great when afterwards Ellie was like, "You took my advice."
Yeah, and he said, I think I'm too nice to people. And she was like, "No, that's not it. I mean, that's not what I wanted you to think, because you're not that nice to people." But I mean, she was right, Ellie, on that point. Like, Alec really wanted to, I get that he didn't want a conflict with Daisy, because he wants her to feel happy and not to hate him, but the right decision was for her to stay and work through her issues and not just go back to her mother every time. I mean, shift parent every time there's something wrong with where she is.
And I do like at the end when Ian said to Trish, "How about I bring home a takeaway?" And then Trish sort of thinks about it, and then she's not like overly excited about it, but she says, "Yeah, that would be fine." So I think I like that.
She's fine with it. Yeah, I like this too, because like, we did suspect Ian, and it was really shady what he did. Like, just, it's definitely not okay to install a spyware on your ex-wife's computer. And
no, I wouldn't recommend it.
No, that's like, don't do that at home. It's not okay. But he does feel bad about it, and like, it's not as bad as everything else we've seen in this season. So it's all right. And I'm glad that it's hopeful for Trish.
And with Series 1, I guess it was probably similar to Series 1, even though I didn't watch Series 1 as it happened. But I'm guessing that there would have been like news reports, and in the build up to the final, there would have been articles about, you know, all the suspects and how they're linked together. But Joe probably was away from that.
Yeah.
And they've done the same again, because I've never seen anywhere list Michael as someone that could have done it.
Yeah, because I think people didn't want the rapist to be a kid, which
yeah.
I get. But people did mention Tom, right?
They did, yes.
Yeah, that's what you were saying last time. The focus was more on Tom than on Michael, because he's Ellie's son and everything. So maybe, but yeah, Michael. But at the same time, like, I feel like with Joe, it was obviously really shocking, because we definitely didn't expect him at all. And it was also shocking because he was Ellie's husband, and like, we didn't suspect him. But if someone had said it could be Joe, we would have said, well, I don't see, like, it doesn't seem like it could be. And like with Michael, we pretty much would have had nothing to say. Like, yeah, I don't think he did it. Why would it be him? But we wouldn't be as shocked by the idea, because it's not a really important character up to this point. Like, it was basically like just saying that, I mean, at least it's a character that we had met before, but it's not like if it had been Mark or I don't know.
I think the writer did play a really clever game with that, because there were people that, including myself, beginning to think that maybe it could have been one of the younger boys that
yeah.
were involved with the porn plotline, so either Tom
mm-hmm.
or Michael, or maybe one of their friends if they had become, you know, a bigger character. But because
yeah.
they introduced these new rape victims and then set up this puzzle of the fact that the person was a repeat offender and they had done it
yeah.
year after year, so then in the back of your mind you're thinking, oh well, if that happened 2 years ago, these boys wouldn't be past
yeah.
puberty or maybe a bit too young to commit these crimes. So having Leo as an accomplice, well, Leo was the person that did it, and then getting one of them involved did throw me off the trail anyway.
Yeah, definitely it did, because we couldn't see how it could be Tom or another boy that age linked to the other rapes. And at the same time, I mean, it wouldn't have made much sense to bring up the other two very similar attacks without them being linked. But I think, like, in a sense, I was a little disappointed about the fact that it's Leo, because in the previous episode, they interview him, and it seems like he panics, and the attitude, he drops the attitude, you know, and he acts like a young guy, just please, I don't want to be in trouble with my father, and like he explains things. I don't even remember what they were asking him and everything, but I was convinced by this whole it's about the spyware and the computer and everything, and I was convinced by the whole he was my teacher and I know it was wrong, but he helped me when I was alone, and I felt kind of disappointed that the one guy that from the very beginning we thought, what a douchebag, is actually the rapist. Like,
oh, I never believed that when he suddenly had that change of attitudes and then
yeah.
seemed like a scared little boy. I never didn't believe that.
I did. Like, I did believe that he would have this, like, shitty attitude of, yeah, before. But then when he feels like he's really, like he could really be in trouble, you see behind the surface, you know, and I mean under the surface, and you see like this kind of lost guy who like his father isn't around. I like that, but then no. And I mean, even without that particular scene, I mean, whether you'd believed it or not, even if that hadn't happened, yeah, it's just like, yeah, from the very beginning, this guy doesn't seem like a good guy, and not the right vibes, and then it turns out that he's the one who did it, and that's, yeah, well, who did some of the rapes and clearly incited this one. And I don't really know how I feel about Michael in that setting, because, like, yeah, he's 16, he knows it's wrong, he knows it, he shouldn't do it, and at the same time, how...
He's still done it.
Yeah, he does it, but, I don't know, I don't see how you can be so much under the influence of someone that you just obey. I also don't understand how you can do that if you don't want to, so obviously you do want to a little bit, but...
Oh, yeah. I mean, when I was watching it, I just felt really sad for Michael that this one thing will wreck the rest of his life.
Yeah.
And then, you know, sort of the way that it's filmed, you're on the side of Michael, that he doesn't want to do this, but he feels under pressure, sort of like Leo rapes Michael by having him rape Trish and stuff. And
yeah, in a sense, yes. But at the same time, he he's old enough to...
But I guess he didn't... It's not like he said he would beat him up, or... I guess there wasn't... I can see what you're saying, Marie, that there wasn't that much of a threat there, but I guess there could have been.
I think it's never an explicit threat, but that Leo has such an influence on him, and you see that throughout the episode, and... That Michael, for one thing, really wants to impress him and do as he says, and also is kind of afraid
drunk.
Of him. Yeah, they're drunk, and I think he's afraid of him, like because he sees how he acts, and I think the threat is still implicit, even if we don't necessarily feel it from the spectator point of view.
Yeah, I agree with you, Marie. Hi.
Hey, Alex.
Hi, Alex.
I'm finally here.
That's great.
Were you able to call your friend?
Yeah.
Good.
It all worked out.
Cool.
We did plan to not talk about the actual murder part of it, and we were just taking it slow, talking about the Latimer family and Mark's story first of all. What were your views on that?
Well, I was kind of shocked, obviously, when he jumped off a cliff, even though that wasn't shown in the episode, because that was not the outcome I expected. Like, I thought he was going to go see Joe Miller and maybe pick a fight with him, end up in jail or something for assault, but I did not foresee that. And yeah, I feel so sorry for the Latimers because they've been through so much and they keep going through so much. And like they can never really go back to being a normal family.
And it reminds me of series one when I rewatched it a few weeks ago, that I can't remember who said it, but someone said to Beth that someone that had a child before?
Yeah, it's another woman whose child had been murdered, or
that the parents don't usually stay together.
Yes.
But
Mark was already cheating on Beth.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly. Like, obviously we don't know if they, I mean, like, if it had all been fine before Danny, we don't know if they would have stayed together or not, but it definitely wasn't fine, and there were definitely, I mean, Mark was gonna leave her, so
yeah,
it's sad, but at the same time I think it's also a very real thing that couples just drift apart and stop loving each other that like they used to. And obviously with the whole Danny thing, it's really sad, but yeah. it's also life. I mean, yeah.
And it also surprised me when Mark tells Joe Miller that he'd been, like, he thought that he could have intervened because he was in the parking lot the night Danny was killed, and he was trying to figure out the timing to figure out whether or not he was there at the same time. And the fact that that hung over him for 3 years, like, I hadn't thought about that, and it really also sucks, I guess.
Yeah, definitely.
And that was the moment that something snapped in him, that he didn't want to, well, he had given up on,
yeah,
like, the discussion with Joe, and then that's what I think caused him to go up to that cliff, because he thought...
Yeah, but I think that would have happened.
Oh, yeah.
Either way, like, whatever Joe, whatever the answer to his questions was, just the fact that he had answers and the fact that this conversation happened, and yeah, it's like there's nothing after that. Once you've had that conversation, and either you realize that indeed you were like a few, really not far, and you could have intervened, or that you couldn't, both answers would bring the same result, that he doesn't want, he has no reason to want to live after that.
Yeah, it's kind of, yeah, like, I wish it had happened before, kind of, because at least he would have had closure if he'd had that conversation, like, at the trial, or
Yeah, that's the worst thing about season two, right? Is that they thought they could have closure, and it went the opposite way. It's just, yeah.
And with as you learn in the final episode with Lucas and Michael, that he struck Michael. So Lucas struck Michael, and then Leo saw that and befriended him, and that led him down that dangerous path where what happened. And then it sort of parallels to Mark hit Danny, and then that caused the friendship with Joe, and that led to his death. So that's another thing that Mark was thinking too, that if he didn't hit Danny, then maybe that wouldn't have happened. But I'm thinking that it's at least better that he knows that, even so, he was having sex with Becca Fisher at the time, so, but if he wasn't, then he could have saved Danny, but actually he wouldn't, because he was dead at that point, so that's at least better for him.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah, I think either way, it's just terrible. there's no two ways around it.
I mean, if he had just been at home and asleep like Beth was, seeing how Mark reacted to all of this, he would have probably felt every bit as much guilty, and I mean, he would have been thinking, I didn't wake up, I should have woken up and heard that he was going out or something. I mean, I think he needed to feel guilty about it, and even if the whole parking lot thing hadn't happened, it was going to be this way.
Yeah, maybe.
So I really enjoyed, I mean, enjoyed, it might not be the word, but like the focus was seemed really to be on Lucas for the beginning of the episode, the final one, and like, it would have been in a sense like too easy if it had just been Lucas. And I really liked the actor's performance and how it seemed to tear him apart to have to say that it was his stepson. And it brought real, like, the character is definitely not a good guy and he's awful to his wife. And yeah, but he is still human and he's not just, I mean, yeah, it brought a it gave me a deeper understanding of him. And I thought it was really interesting. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
And I didn't think so. I just felt like we had seen him as, like, he hates his son, he hates his wife up until that point, and they don't have a great relationship. And then Michael's always like, oh, my stepdad's being a dick, even more of a dick. And then he always has these arguments with his wife, and then he goes out, cheats on his wife and stuff. And just, I felt like it was too much of a big change that he suddenly had, that he cared so much about Michael, but yet the police wouldn't have known about Michael if you didn't just say that, you know, it was Michael in the backseat of your car. And then when he said, oh, don't do it, he's just a boy, say it was me. And then it's like, well, you should have thought of that before you said that it was Michael.
I think his whole character, like his main character flaw, is that he's immature. And so he's still kind of, he resents Michael for not being his son. And like this, he keeps being the grouchy stepdad, even though he protected him, because I feel like it's just how he does things, and that's how he's used to living and reacting. And the fact, well, the recurring point was that he was a bad liar, and so his wife knew that he was cheating on her, and the police knew that he was lying to them. And I feel like it doesn't really matter what the secret was that he was hiding, because he would have, like, if it had been someone else, he would have had the same reaction of, like, kind of closing off and trying to lie to everyone.
Yeah. And I think with his, the way he behaves with his wife and his stepson and everything, it's like, I mean, they were they were really young when he dropped everything to take care of another guy's child. And I think obviously after that, he, as the years pass, he resents his wife and the kid, definitely. But like the guy who decided to stay with them and take care of the kid is still there somewhere, and that's why he's trying to protect him, even though he has all these resentments. I think those are two separate things, you know, like on his day-to-day life, he's not happy with how things are, and he's immature because he's a child, he's acting like a child, but there's still a part of him that wants to protect Michael and I guess his wife too.
Yeah, in his own kind of way,
twisted way. Yeah, definitely. And I was really taken aback by the whole string of insanities that Leo Humphreys says.
Oh my god!
When they're interviewing him, it's just, I mean,
I felt physically dirty. I showered just before watching the episode, and I felt like I had to shower again.
It doesn't feel good.
It just, ugh.
And you could see it on Ella's face, how
disgusted she was.
Yeah, and she,
and how angry,
couldn't believe that anyone would say stuff like that.
And then he has his girlfriend sleep with Michael as well, and she does it.
And she does it. I mean, how? I mean, which shows, I think, that, I mean, it works for the whole Leo is a really, is someone that has a real influence on people around him. Like, something really not okay with the way he's dealing with people around him and making them do stuff, because I don't think that his girlfriend is just, I don't know, stupid and I'll sleep with that boy and that would be fine. I think he is like Michael, really, under his control.
We don't know a lot about her, but I feel like she's probably scared of leaving him. Like, she's kind of stuck in this relationship because she's scared of what he might do if she left him.
Mm-hmm.
Because, well, at least she knows about the weird porn that he watches. So maybe she doesn't know about how he rapes women, but she at least...
I hope so.
Yeah. Like, at least she knows that he's kind of dangerous in that way, and maybe he's threatened her before. We don't really know much about their relationship, but it seems like he's pretty much in control.
Yeah, I think it's like with Michael, the threat doesn't have to be explicit. He just has so much, he has a power over people to just...
In the case of Michael, you see this guy going to a party with his full rape kit, with like the gag and the string insane. To tie him up. It's ugh. And like in that situation, Michael just saw Leo club a woman unconscious, pull out twine and a sock from his bag and just do that like it's routine. I mean, I understand that he's traumatized, and that's I don't think he had any choice. Like,
yep.
He's like, what is this guy going to do to me if I refuse to do what he says?
Yeah, but at the same time, I think it's not right to portray Michael as really a victim here. I mean, I think he is a victim of Leo's abuse as well.
And he is also, yeah.
But, I mean, he does it. And, like, he could have just run to the house. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, obviously he's afraid of Leo, but he's a victim of Leo's abuse, but he's also not innocent in all this.
Well, yeah, I feel like he had a choice at first to, like, when Leo brings his girlfriend to sleep with him, like, he could have just said, no, man, that's weird. and gone away. But, well, the guy's 16. He's hanging out with this kid he thinks is cool, and all of a sudden the guy knocks a woman unconscious and asks him to rape her. Like, I kind of see why he didn't run away at that point.
Because,
I mean, Leo's really scary.
Yeah, and he's also his big, his role model.
Yeah,
I mean, the only model he has.
Big brother figure.
Yeah, especially in this specific area of women, I don't think he has much. I don't think he has any good influence how to treat women, which doesn't make it right, obviously, But still, I'm not comfortable with the idea of just saying, oh, poor Michael, he's a victim in this. And, like, I don't like the fact that it's going to ruin his life. I feel that it's unfair because he's not necessarily a truly bad person. But he did rape someone. And, I mean,
it's a tough one. Because...
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to feel bad for him, but at the same point, he is the rapist. I mean, there's no way around this.
Did anyone think that Michael and Leo were going to sleep together when they were in the room, in his parents' room?
No, I didn't.
It was going through my mind. Or hopes.
No, I didn't.
Because, like, it was just the way it was set up. Like, oh, have you slept with any girls yet? And...
Then they look at each other. I see how you could get to that, yes. But yeah, I'm not sure what would have been the point in the last episode. I don't know.
Well, if they'd been sleeping with each other, they probably wouldn't have raped a woman, so...
Well, I mean, obviously Leo is not raping women because of, I don't know, sexual... insatisfaction. I mean, he has a girlfriend, he's okay. I mean, having sex on a regular basis is not preventing him from raping people. So
I know there was a theory that Lucas and Leo were a couple, and that's why he was always getting in Lucas' taxi and stuff. And I seen that in a few places anyway. And they would be actually the people that committed the rapes, but together, like they were, they joined forces to do it.
That's what, well, I didn't think they were sleeping with each other, but that's what I thought going into this episode, that it would be Leo and Lucas.
Yeah.
Like one rapist and one holding the camera or something. That's also pretty disgusting.
Yeah.
The fact that they filmed it.
Yeah, definitely. And we didn't see Kath or Jim all throughout the last episode, right? They just disappeared.
Oh, I think we've seen a flashback of them.
Yeah, yeah. We see her at the party and everything, but we don't see them live. And I mean, I guess none of you did believe that it was Jim or Ed.
No,
actually, yeah, no.
No, Jim. For a moment, it sounded like he did it, but
yeah, like when Kath
when Kath calls it in
to believe it, and the whole she called the breakdown company before she was raped and stuff was a good tip, but yeah, I didn't. Ed, I definitely never believed it.
Yeah. But it is kind of creepy that he had thousands of pictures on his phone.
Yeah, that's not okay. And the fact
I don't understand why they just let him go when he had clearly been stalking a woman for years.
Yeah, and I mean, I feel bad for the guy, and the fact that he heard it happening and just didn't realize what it was and didn't intervene. It must be hard on him.
Well, especially since, he found out later that it was the woman he's in love with.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But I mean, had I been in his shoes hearing something, and I wouldn't have gone and see either, like.
I wouldn't.
It's just,
walked very quickly towards my home.
Yeah, exactly. So it's not like anyone could hold him responsible for anything, but I understand that he would feel like it's his fault. But I also wanted to say to him that even if he had intervened, like if the thing was already happening, the trauma would have still been quite harsh on Trish. I mean,
definitely.
Being saved in the middle of a rape is not like not being raped.
Oh yeah, that's a good point.
But at least they would have identified the rapist sooner.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm surprised we didn't actually see Tom in this episode, the final episode.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
We see him at the very end with the Latimers.
Oh, yeah, that's right, we do.
And the whole church scene.
I really liked the ending.
Yeah, me too.
I thought the episode did a good job of wrapping things up and kind of ending on a somewhat positive note, even though the revelations were traumatizing.
Yeah, and I loved this last scene with Ellie and Alec.
And she has the orange coat.
And when she asks if he will go to the pub, because we've never been to the pub, and I could see it coming from miles that he would say,
he's like, nah.
Nope. And I actually laughed. It was really, really emotional at this point, and the cliff behind them and the sea and the music. Yeah, very goodbye Broadchurch.
Yeah,
I'm definitely gonna miss this duo. It's the best thing in the series.
I know I've read a lot of reviews in the papers, and they're all talking about even though this is the end of Broadchurch, you know, ITV will want some sort of replacement for the show, or maybe not the same actors, but like a similar murder mystery whodunit type show.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe. ITV does have some great shows. I realize that I've watched a lot of their shows a few of their shows recently, and I've always loved them.
Yeah, I haven't seen that many.
Well, there's Downton.
There's Downton Abbey. Downton.
Yeah. And Victoria.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wasn't a huge fan of Victoria.
I loved it, but just because I loved...
I love Jenna Coleman. I mean, I could watch it.
I love Jenna Coleman, but mostly I really loved Lord Melbourne. Completely and totally in love with him. Just like... utterly and without question. But I did think that it wasn't really it lacked symmetry, because indeed you have the first season with the investigation about Danny, and then the second when it's a weird mix of the sand, I don't remember the town Sandbrook case and the Danny's murder trial, and then in a sense the third season, even though you have the Latimers, is kind of detached from the whole thing. So it's very, yeah, there's a sense of, I mean, my physicist mind doesn't like this lack of symmetry, but I feel like it's okay that it stops now and that there's no more seasons. I'm really sad about it, but it's okay.
Yeah, well, I'd rather it stop on a good season, because this season was really good.
Amazing, yeah.
And yeah, I feel like doing another season with a trial probably wouldn't be the best way to end the show.
Yeah.
I would be happy if they just brought in a new case every year and 8-episode arc with this new story.
Yeah, I'm all for that, definitely. but I also think that it's okay that they wrapped it up really it's satisfying the way it all ends.
Yeah, me too.
And I always waited for the end of the episode with I love the very, very British voice of the people on ITV or BBC or I don't know. So I was always waiting for the announcement at the end of the episode, because I love these guys with the very, very British accents and that like perfect diction and everything. I mean, okay.
Oh, so you can watch that too? Well, hear that?
Well, it's just, I guess, with the files I download, it's sometimes goes up to that point, yeah. I don't know why people would keep that, but yeah. Maybe because they feel like that the announcement, because in this season it was actually like, if you've been affected by this, you should, and maybe they thought it was important to keep that in. So, but anyway, yes, I could hear that. And I enjoy it.
The ones that are the best are when they're actually talking about the show as you've just watched it. Like, oh, what a shocking ending that was.
Oh boy, what will happen next?
Yeah, I like that. And thank God I have VOK to get me started on some of them, because otherwise I just keep like staring at my watch. I'm at my watch list, and I'm like, well, I don't know which one am I gonna pick. But then now I'm watching The Expanse and Big Little Lies, and I'm reading Dune. I mean, VOK is deciding everything I read and watch.
Yeah, and American Gods is coming out soon as well.
It's a book, right? I mean, there's a book.
It is.
Yeah, it's a book, and there's the TV show coming out later this month.
I have to read books at some point.
The book is amazing.
Yeah, but I'm so used to reading only and really only fantasy that just reading Dune at the moment is really new for me. Like, I'm not used to this kind of reading.
American Gods is kind of fantasy too.
Yeah,
it's, well, I don't really know what category it fits in, but it's
okay. I'm gonna.
It's not sci-fi, and it's not. Yeah, I guess it fits into fantasy.
Okay, I'm gonna add
this. But
it's not
heroic fantasy like.
Yeah.
Song of Ice and Fire.
Yeah.
Yeah, Neil Gaiman is pretty hard to categorize.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, I'll take a look. Definitely.
So how far are you into the Expanse, well, the planning of it anyway, the Expanse podcast?
Well, we've settled on a date. I feel like I'm going to marry this TV show. We've set a date, set out the invitations. we're going to try to do it on May 7th.
Oh, good.
So that everyone has time to catch up, and also because I'm busy these next two weekends. And yeah, I guess we'll see closer to the date who can be on it.
Yeah, I feel like you have a few people interested.
Tanya just said she wasn't free on the 7th.
Yeah, I saw that.
But there's quite a few people interested. So
yeah.
I'm hopeful that we'll manage to do this.
Yeah, well, I'll be free, I guess. So I'm not doing much on my weekends anyway. So I might as well just plan this. And if anything else comes up, just plan it around it. But and I'm really excited to talk about Big Little Lies as well.
I have to watch that.
It's good. It's really
good.
It's
short as well, so it's a 7-episode show.
Yeah. And that's typically the kind of shows I wouldn't really want to start because I hate it when there's...
It's over before you know it.
Yeah, exactly. And in a sense, knowing from the very beginning that it's only going to be 7 episodes and that's it, you never see these characters again, I don't like that. But the show is really good, so I'm not regretting it.
That's just what you have to deal with in the UK, because most of the shows are like 6 episodes or 8 episodes if you're lucky. It's very rare to have a show which is, say, 15 episodes long.
Well, think about, I mean, shows that have 12 seasons of 24 episodes.
Oh, I know.
But I'm really used to that kind of shows. That's the shows I'm watching since, like, I've been watching for like 10 years or so. So my first reaction when I have the opportunity to watch something really short is like, oh, I'm not sure I want to do that. But then I do it and I'm amazed by what I discover. It's like, I mean, Broadchurch, Top of the Lake comes to mind as well. A lot of short stuff that I've really, really enjoyed.
Yeah. Well, I feel like a short show that's good is a lot better than a really long show that's like medium.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I mean, it's definitely not the same amount of work in the details. And I mean, a show that is really short is like a 7-part movie, or I don't know. It's just really it's not thought of the same way. Well, I'm gonna go soon.
That's okay. Well, thanks for joining.
Yeah, it was really good to talk about it.
I
really love
and it's over.
This show. Yeah. Oh,
I'll
yeah. It's over. I am definitely.
I hope Alec Hardy goes on more dates.
Yeah.
Finds a nice girlfriend. And that everyone. I feel like we know these people.
Yeah, that's. I mean, that's. It's always why I hate when shows are over is because I feel like I'm losing friends, you know. I know these people and they're my friends and I'm never gonna see them again. But yeah, I feel like we could just write fan fiction about Alec going on dates.
I'm sure there are. And it's all out there already.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for organizing this.
Yeah. And good luck for editing, because I think this one is not going to be an easy one.
Okay. Well, thanks, everyone. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.